RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, for listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Nisma. First headline. Regional security and stability are important achievement of ASEAN. Fake news threatens the existence of press as a pillar of democracy. And now the news in detail. Regional security and stability important achievement of ASEAN. Safe and stable Southeast Asia is one of the important achievements of ASEAN as the organization administers the region. The security and stability of the Southeast ASEAN region have contributed to economic, social, and cultural developments. This was conveyed by the chairman of the Committee of Permanent Representative, or CPR, to ASEAN, His Excellency Elizabeth Bonsoskou, in her opening remarks at the ASEAN Forum of Entities Associated with ASEAN Forging Ahead Together, held at the ASEAN Secretariat in Jakarta on Thursday, May 4th.
What is the most important achievement of ASEAN? I would say that it is the maintenance of peace and stability. Despite the presence of so many traditional and non-traditional threats, ASEAN has been able to foster an atmosphere of peace and stability, which is a precursor to economic development and sociocultural advancement of its people.
What is the most important achievement of ASEAN? I would say that it is the maintenance of peace and stability despite the presence of so many traditional and non-traditional threats. ASEAN has been able to foster an atmosphere of peace and stability, which is a precursor of economic development and social-cultural advancement of its people. Bonsoskou added that the security and stability of the region are realized because of good relations and cooperation among member countries of ASEAN. Therefore, all member countries of ASEAN are expected to always maintain good relations and cooperation that have been established. A member of Press Council who is also chairman of the Advisory Board of Indonesian Television Journalists Association, Imam Wahyudi, said that fake news grows and develops very fast. On the parallelization of World Press Freedom Day 2017, Imam Wahyudi said in Jakarta on Thursday that the fake news gives persistent threats, because in 2018 Indonesia will hold regional general election, and in 2019 Indonesia will hold presidential and parliamentary general election. He said that with various important political events to come, Indonesia will face fake news. The spread of the fake news becomes serious problem related to the issue of region, I should say, of religion and race. Imam Wahyudi warns that the news issues in the future can threaten the existence of press as one of the pillars of democracy.
Bahwa fake news ini bukan hanya mendapatkan konteksnya dalam soal politik lagi.
Fake news becomes problem not only in politics, it begins to threaten the existence of the press as the fourth pillar of democracy. Because we had found that fake news, which in the beginning only developed in social media, was adopted in mainstream media without verification. It poses opinion that media is no more trustworthy.
Imam Wahyudi further said that Indonesia has law to protect individuals' honor who is disadvantaged by fake news, including the law of information and electronic transaction. Thus, it is unnecessary to make additional rule in fighting fake news. He also views that the main thing in fighting fake news is by increasing media and digital literacy. Now civilians and media in Indonesia have made various networks of volunteers in fighting the fake news. A journalist from Ghana as a winner of the Investigative Journalism Award, Anas Areimau Anas, called on all sides to make sure that the result of investigation by journalists have positive impact to society. In panel discussion on development of investigative journalism in Southeast Asia in the World Press Freedom Day 2017 in Jakarta on Thursday, Anna said that there are many results of investigative journalism ending up only as bedtime reading. This is particularly regrettable, remembering the high expectation of the people on the change of an environment. He highlighted some of the conflict that occurred in the African continent, which he said could be stopped if law enforcement could solve the problem fairly.
That war in Liberia, the war in Sierra Leone, the war in Rwanda. Maybe if that judge who sat on that case between that Hutu and the Tutsi was fair, maybe wouldn't have ended up having the genocide in Rwanda. But look, what's the point of carrying on with your independence which doesn't benefit society? I'm not saying that you should practice this in Canada or in America. I'm a product of my society. I'm doing what benefits my society. And I have studied carefully that there is no point in just doing journalism that people will read newspapers in their bedrooms and smile. If you really want to push society forward, if you want to move the frontiers of our democracy forward, then there must be a convergence at a particular stage between journalism and law enforcement so that we can impact positively on society.
Furthermore, Anas Areimau Anas said that a number of investigative journalists in the world face challenges of safety of lives threatened in investigative reporting activities. He also recognized the high threat on himself while investigating in a number of regions in Africa. Anas even had to cover his face for his safety during discussion in the World Press Freedom Day 2017. The World Press Freedom Day WPFD 2017 in Jakarta adopted the Jakarta Declaration as an agreement among the journalists and various media stakeholders in the world to meet challenges that journalists often encounter on their job. Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara at the closing of the WPFD in Jakarta on Thursday said that the adoption of the Jakarta Declaration is a reflection of the spirit of the World Press Freedom Day to achieve one of Sustainable Development Targets SDGs of promoting peace and an inclusive society in the world. He also stated that the adoption of the Jakarta Declaration also shows the shared spirit of the WPFD participants coming from home and abroad in facing today's social media challenges.
In this 2017 World Press Freedom Day, we are able to focus in addressing the issues of SDGs, particularly in achieving SDGs number 16, promoting peaceful and inclusive society, as well as on the how we are going to counter social media bubbles, where solutions to address both are reflected in our today adopted Jakarta Declaration. We are also aware that we need to bring back the healthy public in communication and to support the quality journalism in order to share light in the midst of turbulences of information wave. Furthermore, Minister Rudiantara said that the commemoration of the World Press Freedom Day 2017 in Jakarta also provide an opportunity for future journalism development efforts through young generation. He added that younger generation have shown great enthusiasm in learning and media introduction during the commemoration. He also emphasized the important role of the young generation in helping dissemination of information to the society. This news coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad said that a sense of nationalism in an individual must be balanced through an understanding and knowledge on peace, Mahathir stated during a press conference following an international symposium theme Peace Journalism and Conflict Resolution in Jakarta on Thursday, May 4th, that nationalism must not be extreme to the point where it becomes aggressive towards others. When people grow up to love the country, surely they would want to be able to defend the country. But when the defending goes too aggressive, of course, nationalism is not a good thing. He believes that the nationalism and the desire to defend a country of one's origin are natural and need to be framed by positive values, especially for the younger generation. He also took an example in schools. They do not really teach any subject on peace. Instead, they are taught about history or history about wars. Dr. Mahathir added that when people glorify the image of war, children can grow up to be very aggressive. Strong nationalism may lead to atrocious outcomes when it is not backed by adequate knowledge about peace and globalized thinking. The International Network of the United Nations Education, Social, Culture Organization, UNESCO, Chairing in Communication, or BCOM, hold its sixth annual meeting accompanied by an international symposium in Jakarta, involving delegation from 19 different countries. The symposium, organized by the Communication Science Faculty of Pancasila University, was themed Peace Journalism and Conflict Resolution in Media and was opened by the Director General of Learning and Student Affairs from the Ministry of Research, Technology and Higher Education Intan Ahmad in Jakarta on Thursday, May 4th. He hopes that the event would allow participants from both developing and developed countries to exchange their views. Ahmad noted the activity underlines the key points of the educational reform within 9 priority agenda or the Nawacita of the Indonesian President Joko Widodo. He elaborated on the specific points in the Nawacita that are being promoted by the symposium, adding that the first was to improve the quality of life of Indonesian through education and the second was to enhance the character of the nation by reorganizing the educational system and the national curriculum. And the last item, Indonesian government has condemned a suicide bomb attack in Kabul, Afghanistan on Wednesday, May 3rd. This was reported by Indonesian Foreign Ministry, stated in a press release on Thursday, May 4th. The press statement said that Indonesia would like to offer its deep condolences to the victims and their families.
The suicide bomb attack killed 8 civilians and injured at least 25 others. As of present time, there are no Indonesians among the victims in the incident. Local authorities said that the target of the suicide bomb was a NATO convoy in Kabul. And that was our news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me.
Listener, a commentary today entitled U.S. President Donald Trump's Surprising Move. U.S. President Donald Trump made a new surprise regarding his relationship with Israel and Palestine. In Washington on Tuesday night, President Donald Trump received an hostage Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas at the White House. The press said that the atmosphere of the meeting was colored by hospitality and warmth. Israeli mass media even mentioned that the meeting was simply warmed. The diplomatic set of President Donald Trump as a former American businessman may surprise his supporters. In some speeches during his campaign to win the number one seat in the United States, Donald Trump promised to be a true friend of Israel. Thus, there is no perception within the U.S. that compared to Barack Obama, Donald Trump would be much closer to Israel. No wonder for the conservatives in the country, Donald Trump's move that has just passed 100-day power is questionable. So the question is that how Tel Aviv views the surprising step that Donald Trump takes. there has been no response from Israel about what Donald Trump does. But it is probable that the government and the people of Israel are not happy with the step taken by the new president of the United States. Another question is whether the one meeting between Donald Trump and Mahmoud Abbas may solve the unconflict between Palestine and Israel, or whether Israel will recognize Palestinian sovereignty and independence. Seemingly, for the time being, the expectation is excessive. At the friendly meeting reported by the media, President Donald Trump did not offer concrete steps to resolve the conflict between Israel and Palestine. It was not stated explicitly what further steps would be taken to resolve the prolonged conflict. He neither mentioned nor criticized Israel's atrocities against the Palestinian people. President Donald Trump simply expressed his goodwill to mediate between Palestine and Israel. As a result of the meeting, Israel might agitate in measures to protest Donald Trump's surprising move. Tel Aviv might be not only surprised but also disappointed at Donald Trump's stance. The absence of the blessing of Donald Trump to Israel to build Israeli settlements in Jerusalem and the absence of concrete signals of Washington to move the United States Embassy to Jerusalem certainly make Israel more disappointed. However, the indication cannot be predicted whether President Donald Trump's warm service to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas in the White House could provide concrete results for Israel's recognition of Palestinian sovereignty and stop the prolonged conflict for good. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, here is Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on May 5, 1944, Mohandas Gandhi was released from prison. On May 5, 1944, Mohandas Gandhi was released from prison. India's father of the nation and leader of the civil independence movement opposed tyranny in his country through civil disobedience and non-violent methods. As a result, India got its independence and sparked movements for civil rights and freedoms all over the world. During the World War II, Gandhi and his supporters refused to endorse war effort in India, was not given its independence immediately. The British arrested him in Bombay on August 9, 1942 and kept him in prison for 2 years. He was released on May 5, 1944 before the end of the war because of his poor health. After the war, the British announced Indians would take over the complete authority in this country. Now we continue with an event which occurred on May 5, 2004. Abdul Mukti Ali passed away. Professor Dr. Abdul Mukti Ali is an Islamic reformer who pioneered liberalism of Islamic thought in the Indonesian modern era. Apart from being the initiator of Islamic liberalism in Indonesia, Abdul Mukti Ali was well known for being moderate and willing to respect pluralism, both in internal and external of Muslims. Mukti Ali also very concerned about the world of education. The concern can be seen from the spirit of teaching on campus. Mukti Ali is an alumnus of the Islamic University of Indonesia, formerly known as Sekolah Tinggi Islam or Islamic College. He was born in Cebu on August 23, 1923. Since he was 8 years old, Mukti Ali has a Dutch education in his. The Islamic reform messages delivered by Mukti Ali have distinctive style and way. Mukti Ali tends to introduce the liberal idea of Islam in such a way so that it was relatively unresponsive to those who disagree with it. What is unique from the way of the former rector of Sunan Kalijaga State Islamic Institute, EIIN, Yogyakarta? He did renewal and the notion of Islamic liberal by not overwhelming, not provocative style, and accompanied by a solution. We conclude today in history with an event which occurred on May 5, 2007. Kenya Airways Flight 507 crashed in Cameroon. All passengers and crew were killed. Kenya Airways Flight 507 was a Boeing 737-800 plane owned by Kenya Airways, departed from Douala International Airport, Cameroon, to Jomo Kenyatta International Airport in Nairobi, Kenya. The flight starts from Port Bowie Airport in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, but stops in Douala to take a number of passengers. The plane was estimated being crashed near the town of Lolodorf, about 160 kilometers southeast of the coastal city of Douala, South Cameroon, on May 5, 2007. Kenya Airways said the passengers came from 26 countries. As a result of this accident, 105 passengers and 9 crew members were killed. Based on the result of investigations conducted by Cameroon and Kenya stated that the accident caused by pilot error that still decided to take off, even though the weather at the time was very bad. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Focus. Today entitled Export of Indonesian Wooden Products to the European Union Increase. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry stated that there is an increase in the export of wood products after the issuance of Forest Law Enforcement Governance and Trade, FLEGT. Through FLEGT licenses, timber products from Indonesia are considered to meet the due diligence requirements which applied in the European Union Wood Regulation. The FLEGT license was issued on November 15, 2016. The license allows the Indonesian export products to enter the European Union without due diligence examination. The FLEGT license was issued after Indonesia implemented a Timber Legality Verification System, or SVLK. Director of Processing and Marketing of Forest Product at the Ministry of Environment and Forest, Rufi'i, in Surabaya, East Java, on Wednesday, May 3rd, said since the launching of FLEGT license, Indonesia has issued 14,548 licenses for export of wood products to the European Union. The total weight of wood products reaches 364.7 thousand tons, worth $400 million until March 31, 2017. He explained that before the issuance of FLEGT license, timber export to the European Union on January-November 14, 2016 amounted to $724.9 million. Then the period of November 15 to December 31, 2016, the export of wood products amounted to $125.8 million. In the first quarter of 2017, the export value of wood products to the European Union reached $270.85 million. In total, during 2016, the export value of wood products to all countries reached $9.26 billion. The first quarter of 2017 export reached $1.75 billion. Indonesia's timber is the only one in the world which has FLEGT license, according to Rufi'i. Rufi'i added that the trend of legal timber is applied not only in the European Union, but also in other countries such as Japan and Australia. Wood products from Indonesia have been recognized by Australia through the V-Legal document. Through the V-Legal document. While most other countries do not have legality of timber regulation, however, the government insensibly started from the European Union, which is considered have the most stringent regulation on timber legality in the world. Meanwhile, the owner of PT Surya Alam Semesta, a large-scale national furniture company, Sas Burjot, said that small and medium enterprises currently no longer need to take certification of timber legality verification system to export their timber products to the European Union. He emphasized that timber export to the European Union are easier and business actors are more confident because they pocket the entrance ticket to several big markets like Europe. The market doubtness about Indonesia's wood competitiveness and wood products is no longer available. Sas Burjot said, this is because SVLK is the only system in the world that has been accepted by the European Union. According to Sas, SVLK's maintenance cost is around 30 million rupiah for 6 years, plus a surveillance fee of about 50% of the cost of the initial cost, which is renewed every year or every 2 years. Listener, that was today's focus.
Regional security and stability, important achievement of ASEAN. Safe and stable Southeast Asia is one of the important achievements of the ASEAN as the organization administers the region. Fake news threatens the existence of press as a pillar of democracy. A member of Press Council, who is also chairman of the Advisory Board of Indonesian Television Journalist Association, Imam Wahyudi, said that the fake news grows and develops very fast. Investigative journalism meaningless if not benefit people. A journalist from Ghana as the winner of Investigative Journalism Award, Anas Areimau Anas, called on all sides to make sure that the result of investigation by journalists have positive impact to the society. Jakarta Declaration formulates steps facing challenges for journalists. The World Press Freedom Day, WPFD 2017 in Jakarta, adopted the Jakarta Declaration as an agreement among the journalists and various media stakeholders in the world to meet challenges that journalists often encounter on their job. Mahathir, national should be balanced through knowledge on peace. Former Malaysian Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir Mohamad said that a sense of nationalism in an individual must be balanced through an understanding and knowledge on peace. UNESCO Orbicom organizes 6th annual meeting in Jakarta. The International Network of the United Nations and Education Social Cultural Organization, UNESCO, chairing in communication Orbicom, hold its 6th annual meeting accompanied by an international symposium in Jakarta involving delegation from 19 different countries. And the last item, Indonesia condemned Kabul bomb attack. Indonesian government has condemned a suicide bomb attack in Kabul, Afghanistan on Wednesday, May 3rd. This was reported by the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, stated in a press release on Thursday, May 4th. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to the regular Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Doa Lopi tradition. So stay tuned. Listener, Sangyang is a village which is located about 62 kilometers northeast of Rabah, the capital of Bima Regency, West Nusa Tenggara. The village consists of coastal area in the land of Sumbawa called Sangyang Mainland and Sangyang Island, which is located on the sea. The resident settlement is located in the mainland, while the slope of Mount Sangyang Api, which included an active volcano, is used by the residents as their farmland to cultivate peanuts, sesame, chili, and breeding of goats and buffalo. From 4,000 Sangyang people, 80% of them rely on their lives as sailors. Listener, their main livelihood as sailor, the daily life of Sangyang people actually cannot be separated with the ritual or tradition associated with the sea. One of them is Doa Lopi tradition. The Doa Lopi, in the local language of Mbojo, the ethnic people who inhabits Dompu and Bima, means a prayer for the salvation of the Lopi or ship. As the meaning, Doa Lopi is intended to ask for salvation on a ship that will travel long distance across the ocean. In addition to salvation, the prayer is also intended for the owner of the ship's devoted sustenance. The local people believe by performing Doa Lopi, the ship and crews will save during their sailing. Doa Lopi tradition has existed since the ancestors of Bima community inhabited Sangyang and passed down from generation to generation. The tradition must be done when a new ship go to the sea for the first time. In addition to new ship, Doa Lopi is also done for rejuvenation of the old ship. The rejuvenation can be done to make new paint, new machine, or when the owner replaces the screen. The ships in Sangyang are small and large-sized pinisi or lembo ships. Lamba or lembo is a more modern type of pinisi ship because it has been equipped by machine. The original pinisi is called palari, and its size is smaller than the lamba. The ships are used to catch fish or transport the corpse from Mount Sangyang Api. The ships are also used to transport interregional products on the island of Sumbawa
or outside the region. The procession of Doa Lopi lasted not so long. This tradition is led by religious leaders, and residents who attend the ritual usually read Quran and remembrance of few minutes, then prayer. Once completed, the owner of the ship assisted his family members to share food to eat together. After the event ended, the ship owner raises the anchor. Next, the boat circled around Sangyang waters for about 10 minutes. For newly launched vessel, the owner usually cuts chicken or goat to cook. Then all the people are gathered. Then the ritual continues to the procession of reading Barzanji, or prayers, praises, and narration of Prophet Muhammad, which is usually dedicated with rhythm or tone. The procession of Doa Lopi is ended by eating together. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Doa Lopi from Sumbawa. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Anis, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's Music Corner, we will play some dangdut songs from Julia Perez. The singer, with the original name Julia Rahmawati, is now lying sick because of suffering from cancer. Although in her weak condition, the singer who is familiar with name Jupe is very strong. Julia Perez began her career in Indonesia's entertainment industry in 2002. She began her career as a magazine model, and then she continues her career as a soap opera's actress. In 2008, she began her music career. After Julia Perez released Dangdut Songs, she was getting busy by appearing in some TV shows. Her styles and humor attitude become her charm. Besides appearing as a guest host on several television programs, Julia Perez often performs her dangdut songs. Listener, to initiate today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Aku Rapopo.
Mas Utilazaro, la más hermosa. Usted es más sexy, pero ahora se está cambiando. Me ha botado como una mierda. ¡Guazo! Rasa hati ini always broken. Nemu kamu wes tak sobek-sobek. Kamas in the hoy. Karomis tuk.
listener, you've just listened to a song entitled Akura Popo by Julia Perez. Amidst her popularity, Julia Perez has to accept that the fact that she is suffering from cancer. But in the midst of her busy life, she still performs on several music shows. She often performs singing on a wheelchair. Her fortitude and her endurance of facing her disease inspire many people. Julia Perez always sees her cervical cancer positively. She never sees her illness as a misfortune. Despite having to stay lying in the hospital, she still receives a photoshoot offer. Listener, let's listen to Julia Perez's another song entitled Belah Duren.
Makan duren di malam hari, paling enak sedengan kekasih. Di belah pohon, di belah, enak kebang, silakan.
Listener, thank you for still listening Music Corner. In today's edition, we play some songs from Julia Perez. Now, Julia Perez has to run a series of treatment, starting from chemotherapy to dialysis. However, she still shows her passion. Her fans certainly hope that she can recover soon and come back again to entertain them. Listener, to close today's Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Merana. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Kamu yang buat terluka, kamu buatku merana. Kamulah, kamulah yang aku cinta, kamulah yang aku rindu. Tapi kau tinggalkan aku. Aku merana, merana, merana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Mas, Titi Lazaro, la más hermosa. Usted es el más sexy, pero ahora se está cambiando. Me agota como una mierda. ¡Guazú!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.